This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
In the last few Thursdays, we've been talking about the different stories of different prophets and messengers. Those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made them to be a beacon of guidance, a light of guidance for mankind. From the beginning of the time of Adam alayhi salam, all the way to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for every single human being that comes after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to follow this great man Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And obviously, and that's a reality and a fact, the story and the stories of all the prophets and messengers put together is one thing, and the story of your beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on its own is something totally different. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chosen the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the final messenger of Allah, the greatest human being to tread this earth, the greatest man to ever walk on the face of this earth, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. And amongst the greatest of prophets and messengers after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which the scholars had mentioned that the greatest prophet and messenger, in which means the greatest human being after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the great grandfather of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam, that's Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now we've been talking about Ibrahim alayhi salam and the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had guided Ibrahim alayhi salam from the very beginning. And Ibrahim alayhi salam rebelled against his own people. Why? Because he did not believe in the worship of idols. He rejected the worship of idols. How is it possible that you make and you manufacture those idols with your own hands and then you prostrate to them? Then you worship them. Then you ask them. You made them with your own hands. They should be asking you before you're asking them. So Ibrahim alayhi salam was against the worship of idols from the very beginning. And we mentioned the story of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided Ibrahim alayhi salam from a young age, from an early age. And now Ibrahim alayhi salam opposed his people and then he broke down and destroyed the idols that were in the city when they went on a celebration. And then his people came and punished him, and the punishment was for him to be thrown and cast in the fire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected and preserved Ibrahim alayhi salam from being burnt by the fire. And then Ibrahim alayhi salam decided to migrate and he left Babylon, which is in North Iraq, and he went to Asham, to Harran, and then there he challenged the people of Harran on the worship of the stars and the planets. And then he went from Harran to Egypt, and in Egypt he was tested a very severe test. And that test we mentioned the last week or 2 weeks ago, in which the king in Egypt, who was taking in a beautiful woman that belonged to any man, and if she's the wife of any man, he'll kill that man. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Ibrahim alayhi salam and tested his wife, Sarah alayhi salam, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Sarah alayhi salam and blessed Ibrahim alayhi salam, that both of them passed the test, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them go back to Palestine, and this time they returned back with a maid. And that maid, her name is Hajar, in which later on, Sarah alayhi salam decided to marry off Hajar to Ibrahim alayhi salam, because Ibrahim never had any children from Sarah. And we stopped at that story and then we just touched on, lightly on, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Ibrahim alayhi salam, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam to travel from Palestine to Mecca and to leave his wife Hajar and his and her newly born son Ismail alayhi salam in the middle of that valley. Before I go into that story, there's another story that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the Quran al-Kareem in Surah Al-Baqarah, which is an event that took place with Ibrahim alayhi salam. And it shows you the yaqeen, the belief, the conviction that Ibrahim alayhi salam had, which is the same belief, same yaqeen, conviction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also wants from us. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah Azza wa Jalla makes mention and he says, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّي أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. When Ibrahim asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, oh Allah, show me, display to me, how do you resurrect the dead? Now obviously it's one of our core beliefs as believers, as Muslims, we believe in the day of resurrection, which means people are dead and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring them back alive. Ibrahim alayhi salam obviously believed in that. He had no doubt, he had no shadow of a doubt in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrecting any dead person or any dead being. But Ibrahim alayhi salam wanted to see. So that wasn't a question in doubting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or he doesn't have enough or strong belief in Allah azza wa jalla resurrecting the dead. Ibrahim just wanted to know, how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrect the dead? So it's a big mistake that people, or even some scholars might say, that Ibrahim alayhi salam questioned how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how Allah azza wa jalla resurrects the dead. I'm getting a sign from there saying something. Okay, obviously cars. Alhamdulillah. Okay, please, if your car is parked inappropriately, incorrectly, please go and move your car. Right now, don't wait for anyone, don't wait for anything. So going back to this verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention in the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when Ibrahim said, oh Allah, how do you resurrect the dead? And once again, my brothers and my sisters, just to reiterate on this, Ibrahim didn't have any doubts. Ibrahim had full conviction, had full belief and yaqeen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can and will bring the dead alive. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can and will resurrect the dead. But it was about, how do you do it, ya Allah? I believe it, but show me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنُ. Oh Ibrahim, don't you believe? He said, bala, indeed, without a doubt, without a shadow of a doubt. 100%, ya Allah. I believe 100% in you that you can resurrect the dead, in you that you could bring the dead back alive. وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. Just for my heart to feel at ease. Just for my heart to feel comfortable. In which way? Not in belief, in understanding. In understanding. It's like, you know, wallah, I know that you've got $1,000. Just show it to me. I know you've got it. Just show it to me. I know you own this, but show it to me. It's not like I have doubts in you that you don't have it. I know you do, but I would like to see it. I know you can. I just want to know the now-how. قَالَ بَلَا وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, after he asked, said, Allah, show me, how do you resurrect the dead? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, don't you believe? He said, yes, ya Allah, indeed, bala, definite. وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. So my heart is set at ease. قَالَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, okay. خُذْ فَخُذْ أَرْبَعَةً مِنَ الطَّيْرِ فَصُرْهُنَّ إِلَيْكَ. ثُمَّ اجْعَلْ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ جَبَلٍ مِّنْهُنَّ جُزْءًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show Ibrahim alayhi salam with his own eyes. Because the scholars always say there's something called ilm al-yaqeen. Ilm al-yaqeen. Knowledge that you believe in. But now he wants ayn al-yaqeen, knowledge that he sees. He doesn't just want to know, he wants to see it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, go and get 4 birds. And then slaughter them and chop them into different pieces. And mix the body with a different head, a head with a different body, with different feet, mix them all together. And then put them on different mountains. So exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Ibrahim to do, Ibrahim did. He went and got 4 birds, slaughtered them, chopped them in different pieces, and mixed all the pieces, all the different bodies with different heads, with different feet, with different this, with different body parts, with different feathers. And then he scattered them all around. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, ثُمَّ دْعُهُنْ. Stand right in the middle and tell them to come to you. Stand right in the middle and tell them to come forward. Call them. يَأْتِينَكَ سَعْيًا. You'll find them all flying back to you alive. After they were dead. And you are the one that killed them. You're the one that slaughtered them. And after you mixed the bodies with different heads and the heads with different bodies and feathers and different parts. You call them and see what happens. And subhanAllah, the amazing miracle took place right before Ibrahim alayhi salam, in front of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Ibrahim alayhi salam is watching everything. All the original bodies with the heads went back together and all those birds flew right in the hands of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Wa'alam anna Allah azizun hakim. And acknowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the great one, aziz, the most rare. No one is like Allah, Hakim, the most wise. So this is an event that took place in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention in the Quran al-Kareem, an event that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is signifying His greatness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking about His greatness. You're talking about Allah azza wa jalla resurrecting the dead, Allah azza wa jalla can make it happen. Because one of our core beliefs is believing in the hereafter. What's the hereafter? After you die, you're going to come back. And that's why they came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, made mockery of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. One of them had a handful of dust, and then he let the dust fall on the ground, and he said, "Oh Muhammad, you claim that after we die and become dust, your Lord's going to bring us back alive." So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Yes, Allah will bring you back alive and cast you in the hell fire." Why are you asking about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bring you back the second time? Why don't you ask how did Allah bring you the first time? What's harder is the first time, not the second time. How did you get it the first time, not the second time? The second time is going to be a lot more easier than the first time. So if it's about a question, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revived someone and bring someone alive, how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring you the first time? So Ibrahim alayhi salam asked Allah, "Ya Allah, show me, how do you bring the dead back alive?" So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, this is what you do. He slaughtered those four birds, mixed their bodies together, ثُمَّ دُعُهُنَّ يَأْتِينَكَ سَعْيَا, call them, they'll come to you, and that's exactly what happened. Subhanallah. This is what you call عَيْنِ الْيَقِينِ, seeing what you believe in. You believe in something, but seeing is something else. Obviously, when you see something, your iman will be a lot more stronger, but that doesn't mean that you only base your iman if you see something. We haven't seen Allah, but our iman should be 100% in Allah. We haven't seen the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our iman's got to be 100% in believing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Has anyone here seen the hellfire of the paradise? But our belief has got to be 100%. That's why Umar ibn Khattab says, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala splits open the skies right now to me, and I see the paradise with my own eyes, and the hellfire with my own eyes, this is not even going to increase from my iman. Why? Because the iman is already there. Seen or not seen it, the iman is already there. So this is an event that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention in the Quran al-Karim about Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Ibrahim alayhi salam is a prophet that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned his story in the Quran al-Karim and mentioned his name in the Quran al-Karim more than any other prophet and messenger beside Musa alayhi salam. So the most mentioned prophet and messenger in the Quran al-Karim is Musa alayhi salam, followed by Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Ibrahim alayhi salam, "Inna Ibrahim kana ummah." Ibrahim was a nation on his own. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Ibrahim was a nation on his own. It's like, you know, you're an army on your own when someone says that to you. Allahu Akbar, you're an army. It's like you're equivalent to 1,000 people. Ibrahim alayhi salam was a nation on his own, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention in the Holy Quran. And that is reflected on the sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam and the many sacrifices they had sacrificed. One of them is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to take his wife Hajar, his newly born son Ismail, to the middle of nowhere. And he did. And we mentioned last week or 2 weeks ago. And it was a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not because Sarah alayhi salam, she became very jealous from Hajar. Yes, she was jealous. But that was the test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon Ibrahim. Why? Because Allah tests you to see who comes first, Allah or the creation of Allah. Prove it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prove it to Allah azza wa jalla that Allah comes first. You need to sacrifice. You can't say, "Allah, I love you." Okay, love comes with price. What's the price of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You need to sacrifice. You can't claim to be someone that loves Allah if you're not going to sacrifice for Allah. So Allah azza wa jalla tested Ibrahim. Go and take your wife Hajar, your newly born son, Ismail, and go and put him in the middle of that valley. What valley? It's not, wallah, a nice beautiful valley with flowing rivers, beautiful gardens, nice bush, a lot of animals, one of the toughest landscapes on the face of this earth. Valley. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even makes mention and describes that valley in the Quran al-Kareem, in which Ibrahim alayhi salam says, "Rabbana inni askantu min dhurriyati biwadan ghayri dhi zara." Oh Allah, I had settled my family. I had settled my offsprings in a valley that is not even a plant. A plant will struggle to grow in that valley. That's how tough and rough that surface is. But that's the test. And when Ibrahim alayhi salam left Hajar and Ismail, he walked away. So Hajar tells him, "Oh Ibrahim, we're leaving us here alone, by ourselves, with a bit of water, a bit of dates." He continued walking. She called him again. He continued walking. And then the third time, "Allahu amaraka bithalik," did Allah command you to do this to us? That's when Ibrahim alayhi salam turned around to his wife Hajar and he said, "Yes, Allah ordered me to do this. Don't think I'm doing this out of my own accord. No. It's not my personal decision. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decision and decree. He's the one that commanded me to leave you here in the middle of nowhere. You are my newly born son. The one that I've been waiting for years. Some narrations say 80 years, other narrations say 112 years, 120 years. Could you imagine someone who's been looking forward and longing for and awaiting this child to come, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, you know what, go and put him a sacrifice in the middle of nowhere. Until the water finished, and the dates finished, and there's no mumuk in the breast of Hajar, and this child is crying. So out of emotion, she starts to run in between two mountains, the Safa and Marwa, calling for help, help, help. Rescue me, rescue me, rescue me, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the ground beneath Ismail alayhi salam to gush with water, which is known as the water of Zamzam. She heard that water flowing. She returned back and she saw the water gushing from beneath the feet of Ismail alayhi salam. So she started to say in her language, Zummi, Zummi, get together, get together. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if she didn't do that, Mecca would have flooded. And that's where Hajar and Ismail alayhi salam settled in Mecca. Now, the moment you have water, civilization, settlement, mankind, life, animals, plants start to grow. The most important element of life is water. That's what Allah says in the Quran, Kareem, we created everything from water. So Hajar alayhi salam, with her son Ismail alayhi salam, they are settling and they are living in that valley by themselves, with the water of Zamzam gushing from the ground. Now obviously, alhamdulillah, their life and their livelihood start to get better because it's water. The moment you have water, everything will start coming around it. Animals will come. You hunt them, catch them, slaughter them, eat them. But you could imagine Hajar and Ismail in the middle of that valley. What a sacrifice, my brothers and sisters. Like, you know, when you really think about it, this is a humongous sacrifice. It's not like Allah went and took him, and you know, he left him at a hotel, or he left him with a tribe, or he left him with someone. He put him in the middle of nowhere. In the middle of nowhere. Subhanallah, sometimes when we leave, and we leave our kids with our parents, we leave our kids with our neighbors, but we leave them with the world, with everything. On the contrary, I assure you, when you go overseas, your children are over the moon. It's not like they're upset. Alhamdulillah, mom and dad are gone. You could imagine Hajar alayhi salam and his son Ismail are left alone in the middle of the desert. In the middle of nowhere. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to bless them. It's a test. It's a test. And indeed what she said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never forsake us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never forget us. And Allah did not forget her. Allah did not forget Ismail. Not only that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make anyone that comes after them to forget them. Right now we're talking about them. Subhanallah. Sacrifice, but great rewards later on. That's what sacrifice is about. You can't just sacrifice now and expect everything to come now. You plant and harvest later. That's how it is with the sacrifice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or when you sacrifice for Allah azza wa jal. In Yemen, they used to have a big dam. And that dam fell apart. So the people of Yemen, who are the original Arabs, were forced to leave Yemen. All Arabs originate from Yemen. So they were looking for a new civilization, they were looking for a new place to settle at. So while they were traveling in the middle of the Arabian Peninsula, they saw birds flying and roaming around, so they knew that there's water over there. They went and checked it out, and they found a humble lady with a little child and water. The nobility of those Arabs, they could have done a standover, typical standover, and got rid of her. But they were noble people. They said, okay, you've got water, we've got food. Let us exchange, let us barter. You take our food, we'll give you. You take our food, then you give us your water. And they settled there. That tribe is called Jurhum. It was an Arab, typical, pure Arabic tribe. So Ismail alayhi salam grew amongst the Arabs. And later on, he picked up the Arabic language. He became very eloquent in that language. And he got married from them. So Ismail alayhi salam is from the descendants of Ibrahim alayhi salam, who are not Arabs, but they then later on became Arabized, what they call them. Arab Musta'riba. They're not originally Arabs, but they Arabized themselves. Not originally Arabs, but then later on they became Arabs. Ismail is one of those Arabized. He's not originally Arab, but he became an Arab. He lived amongst Arabs, he learned the Arabic language, he got married from the Arabs, And he became the most eloquent person amongst them. And then he led them later on as a prophet and messenger. So you could imagine Jurhum, also they were Muslims and believers. From time to time, Ibrahim alayhi salam will come past Mecca and visit his son and his wife. It could have been once a year, twice a year, three times a year, four times. And Ibrahim alayhi salam used to use the buraq. It's not like they used to go on foot. He used to go on the buraq, which is that beast, that in a few seconds you find yourself from Palestine in Mecca. And then on the way back. That's the buraq. The one, the same beast that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveled on when he went from Mecca to Jerusalem. And then came back from Jerusalem to Mecca. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, between that, ascended to the seventh heaven, even to Sidratul Muntaha, to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibrahim alayhi salam from time to time go and check up on his wife and his son Ismail in Mecca. When Ismail alayhi salam grew up, and not only grew up as a typical child, typical boy, typical son, but he grew up to be respectful, obedient, righteous, upright, pious. All the good qualities and traits that you like to see in your son. Not a menace and an ifrit that's running around and every day getting mad from school, want to suspend him. Ismail alayhi salam grew up a righteous upbringing. Who's witnessing that? His mom and his father Ibrahim alayhi salam. He's seeing Ismail alayhi salam growing up, obedient, respectful, well-behaved, well-mannered, righteous, pious, God-fearing, Allahu Akbar, all the beautiful qualities that you'd like to see in your son. Obviously, by nature, everyone loves their kids. Everyone loves their son. Everyone loves their daughter. But the more righteous and obedient they are, the more loving you become towards them. So you could imagine Ibrahim alayhi salam, after a long wait, awaiting for this child, had the heart of Ibrahim alayhi salam was attached and connected to Ismail alayhi salam. And not only that, Ibrahim alayhi salam was disconnected from his son. He never saw his son grow up. He never experienced his son growing up. Why? Because he was far away from his son. On the top of all this, his son grew up to be a very righteous, pious son. Very obedient son. Very respectful, well-mannered son. So the heart of Ibrahim alayhi salam became so attached to this son of his more than any other father. I assure you that. You have sons. I have sons of my own. We are all attached to our kids, even though they do our headings. We are all attached to our kids. But when your son, and I'm talking about son and daughter, but here we're talking about Ismail. When your son is so righteous, so pious, so obedient, so well-behaved, so well-mannered, so respectful, you become more loving towards your son. You become more loving. And if you've been waiting for this son for a very long time, you are more loving towards your son. And if you've been disconnected from him, you are a lot more loving. So, in a nutshell, the love of Ibrahim as a father to his son Ismail is not your ordinary love of father to a son. It's way beyond your ordinary. Then the big test comes. One day, when Ibrahim alayhi salam decided to go and check up on his wife, Hajar, and his son Ismail, after Ismail alayhi salam had grew up, and after Ismail alayhi salam became righteous and pious and about to mature, or maybe even matured and reached the age of puberty, became strong, fit, well-spoken, well-behaved, Ibrahim alayhi salam went to check up on him. That night, Ibrahim alayhi salam slept in Mecca, not far away from his son Ismail, and he sees a dream. What dream is that? Let me say something, my brothers and my sisters. We all see dreams. And most of our dreams is what you call fully stupid dreams. Allah, you see yourself talking to an animal, and then the animal turns into a human being. And then you see yourself flying. And then you see yourself in Lebanon or Egypt or Mecca. And then you wake up and everyone goes through that experience. You could see bad things in your dreams, good things. Prophets and messengers, all prophets and messengers don't see foolish dreams. They do not see bad dreams. Every dream that they see is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if they see a dream. So prophets and messengers don't see stupid things. Subhanallah, today I snoozed like 10 minutes because I was reading the story of Ibrahim. I saw myself in Mecca. And then I wake up, I found myself in Petster. Simple. Normal. That's your typical dreams. Prophets and messengers don't see those dreams. Prophets and messengers don't see those dreams. Okay, Pachta is Australian Mecca. Don't worry about that. Okay? Prophets and messengers, whatever they see in their dream is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they don't see those foolish dreams or wallah, okay, they saw themselves doing this and that. If they see something, it means that's a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are we clear? All prophets and messengers. So that night, Ibrahim alayhi salam saw a dream. What was the dream that he saw? He saw himself slaughtering his son Ismail. What did I just say to you? These are not foolish dreams. What does that mean? Revelation, an order. He saw that in the dream. It means that's an order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon Ibrahim. Because one of the ways, one of the platforms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala communicating with the prophets and messengers, yes, through Jibreel. Yes, that's one way. Another platform through dreams. That's why the dreams of the prophets and messengers is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dreams from the prophets and messengers is a revelation from Allah azza wa jal. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw himself marching from Medina to Mecca, what did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do the following day? He marched from Medina to Mecca. That's it. It's a command, it's a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, upon his visit to go and check up on his wife and his son Ismail, that night he slept in Mecca, he saw in a dream, they were slaughtering his son Ismail. He woke up the following day. The following day he woke up. That's it. It's a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not going to deny it. He's not going to say, Allah, it's a foolish dream. He's not going to say, Allah, look, well, this is my son. He's a good boy. He's an innocent one. Why should he be the victim of my dream? He knew that it's a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what did Ibrahim alayhi salam do? Ibrahim alayhi salam called his son Ismail. Ibrahim could have done whatever he needed to do while his son Ismail is asleep. He could have slaughtered him, killed him. He could have done whatever he wanted to do. But subhanAllah, look at the dialogue between the father and the son. A messenger and a messenger to be. Ismail alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam is a messenger and Ibrahim alayhi salam is a messenger and Ismail is a messenger to be, future messenger. So Ibrahim alayhi salam tells his son, Ya bunayya, inni ara fil manami anni adbahuk. Oh son, I just saw in my dream that was slaughtering you. I don't have to get too much into the details of that. You know me. I'm a prophet and messenger. You're my son. And you know, whatever I see in the dream, it means what? A revelation. So cutting a long story short, I saw in my dream that was slaughtering you. Which means what? By default, you have to understand my son Ismail, that this is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to me to slaughter you. فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. What do you suggest upon me? Tell me. I'm sitting down. Now Allah commands me to slaughter you. Allah is commanding me to do what? Not to take you for a walk in the park. Or take you to a soccer game. And buy a PlayStation. Or a new bike. Or go to the shopping. Or give you Allah $100. I'm telling you. The worst thing that you could ever think of. The worst thing. The worst thing that you could ever do to your son. What is it? The absolute worst. It's to slaughter you. The worst. Oh son, I saw in my dream that was slaughtering you. What do you suggest upon me? Subhanallah. What do you suggest upon me? What's your advice? What do you think I should do? I'm sorry, but I'm stuck. I love you as a son. I'm not going to compromise that love. But at the same time, I'm not going to compromise the command of Allah. Allah's commanding me to slaughter you. So what do you suggest upon me? What do you think his son? Looked at his dad. Like, is this guy for real? Dad, are you for real you want to slaughter me? And you're taking my opinion to slaughter me? Now who goes and asks someone, well, I want to kill you, what do you think? Subhanallah. فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. What do you suggest upon me, oh son? Subhanallah, this young boy, only 13, 14, some narrations say 15, just reached the age of puberty. What did he say back to his father? What did we say about Ismail? A messenger to be, pious, righteous, well-mannered, respectful. He said, Ya Abati, if'al ma tu'mar, satajiduni insha'allahu min as-sabirin. Oh Father, do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded you to do, Insha'Allah, by the will of Allah, you're going to find me to be from among the patient ones. Allahu Akbar. Yani subhanallah, you look at the sacrifice of Ibrahim, but look at the response of Ismail. The father saying to his son, I'm going to slaughter you. And I've got no choice. It's not like, wallah, I've got a choice, you know what? We could, you know, there's a loophole. We could say, well, maybe it was a dream. You know, he's still young. They say, no, I'm sorry. I have no other choice except to slaughter you. So what does Ismail say to his father? Or dad, do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded you. Insha'Allah, by the will of Allah, I can't guarantee, but insha'Allah, by the will of Allah, I'll be from amongst the patient ones. Allahu Akbar. The sacrifice of Ibrahim to slaughter his son Ismail is one thing, but the reaction of Ismail is something else. That's fascinating. That's amazing. A father saying to his son, Allah commands me to slaughter you. Wallah, not to hear your hand, to lock you up, to take, wallah, confiscate or take this away from you, to slaughter you, to end your life, to put you through torture and pain and get rid of you. So Ismail says, oh dad, do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded you to do. Insha'Allah, you'll find me from amongst the patient ones. And both, father and son. The father takes his son to slaughter the son, and the son goes with the father knowing that the father's going to slaughter him. Which means it's going to be the last encounter between Ismail and Ibrahim. And they're not going for a nice walk in the park, for a nice ride, a nice run, to go and slaughter the son. And he goes to that place in which Ibrahim alayhi salam had seen in his dream, where he slaughtered his son Ismail. And he goes to that rock. And he puts him on that rock. So what does Ismail say to his father? Allah, there's some narrations that say along the way, Iblis tried to deter them away and divert them away. And each time they come to them, they stone them and this and that. Until he went to that rock. So what does Ismail say to his father? Did he say, Dad, you know, rethink it. Dad, you know what? Maybe it's just a dream. Maybe this and that. He says to him, oh, father, make sure that you lie me flat on my face towards the ground. So you don't look at my face. Maybe you'll be reluctant in doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded you. Subhanallah. And make sure no blood spills on you. Because if my mom finds out later on that you slaughtered me and then she reprimands you, maybe something in your heart or your mind will come and you say, you know what, I wish I didn't do it. Oh, father, don't you even hold off. Don't think twice when it comes to the command of Allah. It's Allah that's commanding. And if it's about slaughtering me, you slaughter me just to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, ikhwan, wallah, when we talk about this, like, I don't know what world we're in and what are we talking about. And I'm not saying to go and try that at home. We're talking about a prophet and a messenger here. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ وَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَيَّا إِبْرَاهِيمَ. When Ibrahim alayhi salam laid his son Ismail and he sharpened the knife to slaughter his son Ismail, he put the knife on the throat of his son and he tried to slaughter him, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't allow the knife to slaughter. Because who makes the knife to slaughter? Allah. The one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not allow the fire to burn Ibrahim alayhi salam is the same one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not allow the knife to slaughter, even though it was sharpened. And Ibrahim tries again, and Ismail tells him, Dad, go harder. Dad, don't go back. Fulfill Allah's command. Obey Allah. And he tries to slaughter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in some narrations, as the scholar said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the blade flip to the other side. And Ismail tells his father, oh father, gahara, toughen up a bit more. Don't hold back from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَيَّا إِبْرَاهِيمُ قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَزِّي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Oh Ibrahim, a call comes from the heaven. Allah calls upon Ibrahim. And Allah says to Ibrahim, oh Ibrahim, You had fulfilled Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. Don't slaughter Ismail. There is no benefit in slaughtering Ismail. What we wanted to see from you is that you adhere and subscribe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commandment. And you did. And that's why, قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا. That's it. You had fulfilled Allah's command in your dream. It's all about initiating something for the sake of Allah. What benefit is Allah going to get in slaughtering Ismail, slaughtering anything else? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala substituted. Allah gave Ibrahim alayhi salam a substitute of a calf or a sheep that came down from the heaven. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Ibrahim, you slaughter that sheep right now and let go of his son. But it doesn't stop over here. No. You sacrificed a big sacrifice. With every sacrifice, there's a price. With every sacrifice, there's a reward. What you just did right now, Ibrahim, no one had done it in the past. We asked you to slaughter your son, you did. And your son complied. And he followed. And that's why we're going to make you not slaughter your son. And we're going to get you to slaughter something else beside that. But on the top of all this, we're going to give you not one blessing, not two blessings, not three blessings, a blessing over a blessing over a blessing. Number one, we are pleased from you. Number two, we are pleased from your son. And as a reward to you and your son, Ismail from now on is a prophet and a messenger. That's our gift to him. Promotion. Allahu Akbar. Promotion doesn't come cheap. Subhanallah, these days we come in the deen. Yesterday we're crooks, and today I want to become, Allah, the best of people. Yesterday we're Abu Lahabs, and today I want to become Abu Bakr. Heka, just over day and night. It's all about sacrifice. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promoted Ismail to be a prophet and a messenger after this event. قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا إِنَّ كَذَلِكَ نَزِّي الْمُحْسِنِينَ إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْبَلَاءُ الْمُبِينَ وَهَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. This is a great sacrifice. Allah even mentions that. This is a big sacrifice for a father to get a slaughter his son. And for the son to comply. For the son to cooperate. That's a huge sacrifice. You know, Ikhwani, we're talking about this story, but when you really think about it, it's just beyond. I'm telling you right now. If I get the command from Allah Azza to do that, I'm telling you, I can't do it. I'm not going to Allah claim to be Allah the strong one. I don't know you can't do it. And I'm not looking forward to this command. Don't think, Allah, I'm looking forward to it. Okay, but it's a big sacrifice. It's a slaughter. And who, your son? You can even do that to a stranger, to a criminal. To some people who probably even deserve it in one way or another. I'm not saying yes, but you know, you might think about it, you know what, this criminal, this person, this murderer, this, he deserves it. He can't even do that. Can you imagine when it's your son? And can you imagine when it's a righteous son? When it's an obedient son? When it's a respectful son? Well-mannered and behaved son? Why? It's an innocent child. But test. And Ibrahim alayhi salam obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to slaughter Ismail. So at the end Allah said, don't worry about the slaughter. Since you did what you needed to do, we're going to reward you. Then later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives Ibrahim another blessing. You had one son, and he'd been looking forward to this son. Right now, we're going to bless you with another son. In which Ibrahim alayhi salam, one day, when he was in Palestine, after he went back to Palestine, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him with this big test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention in the Quran al-Kareem. إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْبَلَاءُ الْمُبِينَ. This is the big test. One of the biggest tests that mankind had ever encountered and experienced. Ibrahim alayhi salam returns back to Palestine. And Ibrahim was known to be Abu Midyaf. Very hospitable. Never used to eat on his own. He'll go and just get strangers from outside the house and just eat with them. So once, three strange men came to him. So what did he do? He cooked food for them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even makes mention, what type of food is it? Ijlin Hanid, a roasted calf, a roasted meat. And he offered it to them. But they didn't eat. He said, eat. They didn't eat. Faddalu, they didn't eat. Salamu qawmun munkarun, who are you people? You're not from this town. We've never seen you in this town. Obviously, you came out of this town. So you traveled, but you don't even look like travelers. There were three angels, Jibreel, Mikael, and Angel of Death. Came in a disguise of human beings. To visit Ibrahim alayhi salam on their way to the nation of Lut to go and destroy Lut. The nation of Lut. Not destroy Lut himself, but destroy the nation of Lut, and the story of Lut is another one. So on the way going to the nation and the tribe of Lut, they went past Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim did not recognize them. He said, you are strange people. But out of his hospitality, and this is the character of a true believer, he was very hospitable to them. So he offered them food. He went out of his way. He slaughtered the calf. He roasted it. And then offered it to them. They didn't even eat. He got scared. Allah mentions that in the Quran Kareem. وَأَوْجَسَ مِنْهُمْ خِيفَةً. He got scared. Look, I mean, I went out of my way to offer you food. I roasted this food. People fought over this roasted lamb or roasted the calf. And you people don't even want to eat. So they said, إِنَّا أُرْسِلْنَا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِ لُوتٍ. We are not your ordinary people. We are messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Angels. We were sent to go and destroy the nation of Lut. On our way to Lut, we were commanded to come past. Why? To tell you two things. Number one, we're going to destroy the nation of Lut. Ibrahim didn't like that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even mentioned that in the Quran Kareem. يُجَادِلُنَا فِي قَوْمِ لُوتِ. He started to plead. He started to argue, why? No, this and that. Don't go and destroy them. Maybe Allah will guide them this and that. Allah mentions that in the Quran Kareem. And the other thing that I wanted to mention to him is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bless you with another child. But this time, this child is going to come from your first wife. The one that you've been with for about 100 years, and you know that she's barren. When she was young, she couldn't even give birth to any child, let alone for her when she's old. But right now, we're going to give you a child from her. But not only this. Sarah alayhi salam, she was listening to those messengers, to those angels talking to Ibrahim alayhi salam. When they mentioned that they came to inform Ibrahim alayhi salam about destroying the nation of Lut, she laughed. She said, Kharjun. Not of course in that word, but she was happy. Because she heard about the people of Lut, how mischievous are the people of Lut, how evil the people of, how vile the people of Lut. So she was happy to hear that Allah is going to destroy them. Fadahikat. Allah says she laughed. While she was laughing, they told Ibrahim to tell his wife, and tell your wife, this old lady, that when she was young, she could even give birth, tell her that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bless her with a child. But not only that, there's more. There's more than that. Allah is going to bless her with a child. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to prolong her age so old enough for her to see her grandson from this child that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give her. And the child that Allah had blessed her is going to be, or Allah is going to bless her with a child, his name is Ishaq. He's going to be a prophet, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to keep her alive for her to also experience her grandson from her son Ishaq. His name is Yaqub. Subhanallah. All that because of what? The sacrifice. إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُ الْبَلَاءُ الْمُبِينَ. The big sacrifice. What happens with big sacrifices? Big rewards. So because he was willing to sacrifice his son Ismail, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept Ismail for him, and Allah gave him Ishaq. وَمِنْ وَرَاءِ إِسْحَاقِ يَعْقُوبِ. And after Ishaq, you're going to also experience and witness your grandson from Ishaq, Yaqub. And from Yaqub, he came Yusuf. That's why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the generous man, the son of a generous man, the son of a generous man, the son of a generous man. Yusuf, a prophet. The son of Yaqub, a prophet. The son of Ishaq, a prophet. The son of Ibrahim, a prophet. No human being combined that in three grandfathers that were prophets except Yusuf alayhi salam. Sacrifice. You sacrifice for us, look what we'll give you in return. Ikhwani, whatever you sacrifice for Allah, don't think Allah's going to get to waste. You sacrifice, yes, it's hard, it's tough, it's not easy. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the rewards later on. And look exactly what happened to Ibrahim. He was willing to sacrifice his only son that he's been waiting for a very long time. But because of that sacrifice, Allah kept Ismail, made him a prophet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him another son from Sarah, Ishaq. And from Ishaq, another prophet, Yaqub. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed his two sons to be prophets and messengers. On the top of all this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the Quran Kareem, and we made the prophecy from his descent. All prophets and messengers come from Ibrahim. Ya ikhwani, that's not the point. Don't just look at it and say, Wallah, mashallah, very nice story today. I'm so affected by the story. Look at it in what Allah Azza wa Jalla gives. When you sacrifice for Allah, Allah gives you more than what you even anticipate. More than what you even think about. When you sacrifice for Allah, Allah gives you more and more and more. So sacrifice for Allah, Allah Azza wa Jalla give you more. And the big sacrifice of Ibrahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him Ismail, Ishaq, Yaqub. And more to come. More to come. But that will keep that for next week, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. May Allah reward you. Subhanakallah, alhamdulillah. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I wanna be
Jannah. Every Muslim dreams to be
up in Jannah, 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 Jannah.
A pious person's destiny.
Inshallah, in Jannah, Jannah, Jannah.